Well, thank you again for your warm welcome this morning. My plan is to go through briefly the two passages that we've had read this morning to us in Isaiah 40 and in John chapter 10. We're going to look at these passages briefly, hopefully oversight. Having been a chaplain at Scotch College for 10 years, it's very unusual for me to get the opportunity to preach and to preach longer than 7 or 8 minutes. So if you're hoping for 7 or 8 minutes, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I'm making the most of my time. God is transcendent. He is not as we are. His whole existence is different to ours. And to allow us to help us to grasp something of who God is and what he is like, he uses a large number of images. We see God as creator. We see God as king, as lord. We see God as owner, as judge, and as father. Perhaps one of the most tender of all these images is that of God as shepherd. We find that in Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Or in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. And we find it here in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers his lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. The shepherd image of God is one that's still relevant for us even to this day. Now, it's a time when I stand up and I go, well, I am no expert in sheep. I am a city boy, born in Edinburgh. My great-grandfather, however, was a shepherd and looked after the king's sheep in the park in Edinburgh after years of being a drover, bringing the sheep from the north to the markets in the south. That knowledge of sheep, however, was not being passed on through the subsequent generations. But I still think it's something that even city folk today can grasp a relevance of. So we see in the passages here that the shepherd, firstly, knows his sheep. I know my sheep. He knows us, and we, the sheep, know him. It's astonishing and moving that God, who has so many other concerns, is nevertheless so familiar with each and every one of us. He knows us, and he is deeply concerned for us. He knows our identity. He knows who we are. Each one of his flock is known to the shepherd. I believe it is true that shepherds can recognize their own sheep, that they see not just a ball of wool and some eyes with legs that bounce about, but they know their sheep. They can identify the sheep that they want, the lamb they need to tend to. They know each one. The Lord God knows his sheep. And when you consider the vast extent of the Lord's flock, no one can number it. It's scattered through history and time. It's scattered through different languages and countries and cultures and generations. And yet the Lord knows us individually. Our names are individually known to him. They are written in the book of life. They are engraved in the palms of his hands. The picture there is almost like it's God cannot move his hands without seeing our names written upon them. And it's not as if God just looks down and says, there's the vague mass of humanity, I know them. Or says, oh, there's the worldwide church. We are those things, yet we are also individuals, distinct, persons with our own situations and our own makeup. As a church congregation gathered here this morning, we might feel both individually and corporately insignificant. Yet God knows we are here, and God knows each one of you in our unique identity, and you are precious to him. For he knows certainly that our situations and our needs. It's a cliche, but it's true. He knows our needs better than we know them ourselves. There are some things that God knows, we think, because we tell him. That's true. But he also knows us and knows those needs beforehand. We can pray and we can pour out our hearts to him, and he hears and knows these needs expressed to him. But the Lord is also this morning aware of the needs and all the things that we are blissfully unaware of. And he knows our feelings and the things that are hidden from others, even those that we sit alongside. The things that we feel that we cannot articulate to God, he knows them. He knows what you're feeling. He knows your fear and anxieties. For all those things that crowd into your heart and destroy the feeling, the knowledge of God itself, that seem to swamp us. God knows those things. He knows the things and the excuses that we make in our lives that says, well, I'd like to trust God, but not yet. I'd like to know him as Father and Shepherd, but not yet. He knows the excuses we make. He knows his sheep. There is nothing in God himself, nothing about God himself that God does not understand. That's his greatest glory of God's knowledge. In comparison to God's infinite and exhaustive knowledge, our needs is almost nothing. God knows your situation. He cares about it. In the circle of the eternal covenant, he has made and is making provision to promise to meet your needs, to keep you from danger as a shepherd keeps his flock from danger. And that knowledge is eternal. God has not been a time without knowing you. He has never been without caring about you and your situation. From all eternity, he has known you. This is not a necessary part of God's existence. It comes from God's free love for you. Having chosen to love you, he loves you eternally and personally. And he knows your voice. He knows our sheep-like bleats. He can distinguish your voice from every other voice and from every other noise in the universe today. In a universe full of tumultuous sounds and clashes and bangs and cacophonies, he hears you. He hears your sighs, your groans. He hears the very longings of your heart. And he immediately recognizes who it is. And he knows that you are calling out, even in the depth of a pit, in a sense of darkness, where there seems to be no light, or when on the top of a mountain in full of joy and gladness. He hears your cries. He recognizes you instantaneously. God, our shepherd, knows us in our identity. He knows us in our needs, and he knows us in our cries. And this shepherd offers individual and personal care for each of his flock. Back to Isaiah in verse 40:11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. What a beautiful picture they have of the shepherd and the things that he does for it. Yes, he feeds and he leads and he heals and he protects. Those are his general shepherding duties, and we enjoy them and are his beneficiaries. But look at the beautiful specifics here in the passage. He identifies the individuals and their different needs, and he gathers the lamb to his chest. He has it in his arms. He carries them close to himself and to his heart. That sheep, that lamb can feel the pulse of the shepherd. He gathers those who at one time, those little lambs that would frolic and jump about and look like they had all the energy and all the everything going their way, and then collapse. They've run out of energy. They can go no further. They're almost point of giving up. They're starting to bleat and moan. And the shepherd picks up and says, come along, let's go. He knows the lambs. He gathers them to himself. He knows he cannot drive them faster. He knows he needs to pick them up. He identifies those that need specific attention to their individual needs, to those who are low, lonely, afraid, who've got no stamina left, who are ill, who are tired. They're picked up. Our shepherd picks up the lambs. And for those who think, well, I'm a bit beyond the spring lamb in age, he picks up and looks after the mature as well. They've got their own needs. They need carrying too. They need understanding. They need that pastoral care as much as anyone else. Those who feel like they're overlooked, they're getting old, they're feeling vulnerable. God is still your shepherd. He gently carries each and every one. That's God for us. He comes as our shepherd. He carries the youth, and the lambs in their youth, and the sheep in their maturity. But he knows us. Now, just in case you're thinking, well, pastoral care, it stops there. As a sidebar, God still wants us to shepherd and look after one another. Looking out for each member of the flock here. That's one of the great glories of Christ's church, isn't it? That we look after one another. From the very beginning, we looked after each other, the despised and the weak, those who were overlooked, those who were regarded too old, too young, all part of his flock. We engage with God to look after and do the work of God with one another, looking after one another. But what about the shepherd? If we move on into John chapter 10, we see Jesus coming and saying that, I am the good shepherd. Because you see, we have a shepherd here who truly feels and empathizes with us. And that is characterized in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd. He is the one who has taken our nature, who has become flesh for us. God the shepherd is Christ the good shepherd. He has our body. He has our soul and our emotions. We see God in all his fullness here. God becomes man. And it underlies the very foundation of everything. This good shepherd, this Jesus, he comes, he takes our very nature, he takes our very experiences. He knows what it is to be exhausted, to be downcast. He knows what it is to be rejected. He knows what it is to be utterly afraid and paralyzed by fear itself. He knows what it is to shudder at the will of God when faced with a cup of wrath. And here this shepherd comes to us, and he is one who truly understands. There's a passage in Revelation 7 which looks at the Lamb of God on the very throne of heaven above that's marred, that bears the marks of death. We are a flock here on earth with a Lamb on the throne, a Lamb that has been slaughtered, marred and slain. And what a pastoral encouragement that is for us, that we have a shepherd who knows us. If sheep could talk, they'd probably look to each other and say, well, what does a shepherd know about me? That man doesn't know what it's like to be a sheep. He doesn't know how hard it is. Oh, he doesn't know how difficult it is. And how hot it gets under all this wool when it gets too hot. He doesn't know how tired I am when he leads me out. He doesn't understand who I am and what I'm going through. He's got no empathy, no compassion. Sometimes we might find that and think that of God ourselves, that he doesn't understand. He doesn't know, or he cannot relate to me and my situation. Our Savior knows nothing of sin and guilt, but he knows our physical and our spiritual and our emotional limitations. He knows us completely. And because he knows, and he still knows there in heaven above, in the Godhead, we have the sympathy of God, the triune, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes, sure, God the Son takes on flesh. He dies on the cross. The Son is still one with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. And in this triune, in this Trinity, there is sympathy. There is understanding. There is full sympathy in the Godhead of who we are. He does know what we're going through. This divine compassion is done not just because it's God is love, but as God is love and God understands. And because the Godhead knows, because our shepherd knows in heaven, then we have the very resources of heaven above for us. The God who created the world, the shepherd of triune God, the whole of the Godhead is shepherding us, each in his own way. And the tremendous thing to know that God the Shepherd, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is looking after us. And we can draw upon the very resources of heaven above. It's no accident that this passage in Isaiah has this idea about God in verse 10 coming in great power. And he rules with a mighty arm. And he has reward and blessing that accompany him. Our God is not poor in resources. Our God has infinite resources to love us, protect us, to guide us, to equip us. He has hands that feed us. Love is on the throne, but the Lamb on the throne is one who is omnipotent, who knows all things, omniscient, and is omnipresent. And he can give individual attention to each member of his flock whether we're here in South Yarra or whether we're other parts of Victoria or Scotland or wherever. God has all these resources carrying us in his hands. The whole world, we got told as a children perhaps, the whole world is in his hands. And he has so many resources for each and every one of us. There's no shortage of power. There's no shortage of wisdom or anything that we can ask. Isn't it Paul who writes about an almost a point of hyperbole? He says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to what? His power that is with work within us. His arms are above and beyond all that we can imagine and ask. His power and his care. He can do it all. And his care for you is wonderful. Do not start thinking to yourself, it's impossible. My situation is impossible. I cannot do it. It cannot be done. God can do the impossible. He has the resources. But I want us to also consider this morning the price the shepherd has paid for you. I did a bit of research on the internet webby thingy. I wanted to find out about sheep prices. It's a rabbit hole you can go down and you can spend ages looking. But I discovered that back in 1989, the record price for a Merino ram was set $450,000 Australian dollars, which I was reliably informed is close to $1 million today. Interestingly, that price was paid almost 40 years ago, never been beaten. But I also worked out that a lamb is worth probably $7.25 a kg. How much is God's flock worth? We hear it in John, I lay down my life for my sheep. The Church of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, has been purchased by the blood of the Good Shepherd. At the cross of Calvary, we could look back and say in 1989, and I'm sure some people were there at that market and heard that figure of $450,000 for a ram. They paid too much for that sheep. Paid too much. What are they thinking? And Jesus looks and pays willingly the price for you and for me. He lays down his life for the sheep. Maybe Satan was probably going, that's too big a cost. How dare he? What does he think they're worth? Have you seen their sin? Oh, he pays it. What did he pay? He lays down his life himself. He gives up himself for us. He loves us from before eternity. He's pursued us out of his love. And he's laid down his life as a ransom for his sheep. If you think of Jesus growing up there in that little town in Nazareth and his mother's knee, going to synagogue, hearing the scriptures opened up and that realization as he wakens to his mission and what lies ahead, and he hears of lambs and sheep being sacrificed with Abraham and Jacob and Moses and the people of God at Passover and all the sacrificial system and Jesus going up to festival after festival and giving up an offering and hearing the lambs and the sheep in the market around the courts of the temple. Each trip revealing to Jerusalem, revealing a little more of the cost that lies ahead. And yet he goes on. And during his ministry, it becomes all the more acute. He knows the cost for his sheep and his flock. And it's most clear there in the garden in Gethsemane the night of his arrest, where he is terrified, that he's almost to the point where Jesus himself shrinks back from the pain and the very thought of being absent from the Father and his relationship. Abba, gone. My God, why have you forsaken me? All due to the curse of the sin of the world. And he pays the whole cost for the flock of God. On the threshold of death, he loves his sheep to the very, very end. And he saw that end. He saw the contents of the cup that he would have to drink. And yet he still loved his flock. Not my will, but thine be done. Let us go. He loved us to the end despite the very cost to himself. He lays down his life for his sheep. He fulfills the covenant between us and our Father. He goes for a love for the people. And in the power of the Spirit, he goes to the cross. We are born into this world through the pain of our mothers. We are born again into the world through a greater pain, through the cross. And the shepherd buys his flock. That's precious. But this morning as we gather here, we are not only the flock, part of God's flock, but we are blood-bought sheep. And so we listen to his voice as we close. Just as we know that the Father, just as Jesus knows the Father and the Father's voice, so we know his voice, the shepherd's voice. And we want to follow, that our ears be attuned in a confusing and confused world, that we would be focused in on the shepherd and his voice, his call, the sense of his presence, to know his voice and to walk and follow after them. Not following the voice of a stranger, but following the voice of the shepherd. He speaks through his word, the Bible, and he calls us to himself. Draws us close to himself. And through his word, we hear the voice of the shepherd, and we get to know the shepherd and his will for us. And we follow. My sheep follow my voice. We follow him. Jesus calls, we are to follow. Wherever that leads in life, through beautiful places and scenic parts to harder areas and times of trouble, from green pastures to dusty plains, from overflowing goodness to scratching where there seems little joy. But God goes with us as our shepherd, and we follow the voice of the shepherd. There may be enemies, but the table, we're told in Psalm 23, is furnished. We may be in a valley of shadow of death, but he will be there with us. He will go with us. Do you hear his voice? There will be no place that he leads us, and no place that he sends us where he will not be present, where he will not be with you. Sometimes we do not know where God will lead. But if we are with God, we will not want to go anywhere else. We will not want to go back. But we will go where the Father, the shepherd, leads us, regardless of any cost. It might be easy today, might be harder tomorrow. Many do start, but some do not persevere. Whether it be the cares of our world, the deceitfulness of riches, the pressures and attractions of career, or the lust of power, or the call of affluence, God calls us to follow. Sometimes there will be a cost, but he's worth it. Are you following him this morning? Are you hearing his voice today? Who is it you're going after? Follow the shepherd, that he might lead us all to the home that he has prepared for us. Amen. We're going to conclude our time singing this morning from hymn number 480.